Hey, it's Finn, and if you've been listening to 680 for long, you know that I'm a big fan of Audi Atlanta. That's where I got my Audi Q8 e-tron, which I absolutely love. And it's the only dealership I would recommend to my friends and my family. And here's why. For one, Audi Atlanta has a great selection of luxury vehicles. They helped me find the exact SUV I was looking for, and the purchase was super easy. A fully transparent experience catered to me. The same experience they provide all their customers. And here's one more reason that makes Audi Atlanta so special. During the month of April, Audi Atlanta will make a donation to Enduring Hearts for every vehicle sold. Thanks to the efforts of Enduring Hearts, children with heart transplants are living longer and healthier lives. Get the Audi you've always wanted while supporting a great cause. To learn more about Enduring Hearts and to view our current specials, visit AudiAtlanta.com to start or complete your entire purchase online. Or shop Audi Atlanta in person, like I did, on Peachtree Boulevard just inside the perimeter. Together, we have the power to make positive changes that could last a lifetime.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Hour two of the Chuck Oliver Show, and that's right now. Gonna be like hour one. We're gonna talk college football, just different topics, different people. Talk with Chip Patterson from CBSSports.com in hour one. Great piece about the sort of look back, the look in the rear view to the coaching hires from four off seasons ago, the 2016 season into calendar year 17. Great piece up at CBS Sports. And so we went through just a few of the coaches, honestly, on there that were worth talking about. So you can go read the entire piece there. Appreciate Chip coming on. 10 minutes from now, Mike Barber, Richmond Times-Dispatch, talking Virginia Tech and the situation there with what's possible at quarterback, because there's another talent to get there, and Fuentes got his reputation. But also just the steady path out of town for so many impact kids in that program, and what we're supposed to be talking about with Virginia Tech that we really don't anymore, and that's how much are they contending for? Certainly the division, maybe and we don't have those conversations, and I don't know that I will this year. And then again, bottom of this hour from Locked On SEC Podcast, it is Chris Gordy coming on, talking a little SEC West for the most part. Again, that's bottom of the hour right now. Let me get you up to date.
Everything you need to know about college football, every single day. This is CFB 365, presented by Ecoderm. Text Ecoderm to 31996 now for your free sample of Ecoderm pain relief cream and CBD from Frank Thomas. Text ECODERM to 31996 now.
I swear this was not news, but I saw it listed as news, I think yesterday. Headline, Tennessee defensive back Schamberger enters transfer portal. Sean Schamberger, he's going to be a senior this year, and he's played. He started a bunch of games for him, and he has jumped into the portal. Played 4 years for him so far. He gets a season like everybody else can from 2020, and he is actually, remember, he was recruited from, by Butch Jones, and so he is in the portal. And didn't play a whole lot last year, but he is immediately eligible, and he's an upperclassman that you can kind of, I hate to say plug and play in the secondary unless you're an elite man coverage guy at corner, or you're a safety closer to the line of scrimmage. That's a little easier, but it still is about chemistry and playing with folks. You got to know your teammates in the secondary, but he's a grown man. He's got some talent, so he's in the portal and on the move. Speaking of portal, well, this one has played itself out. Headline, former Vanderbilt linebacker transfers to Arizona. That would be Kenny A. Bear, and he's a redshirt senior linebacker, kid out of New Orleans. Huge kid, he's like 6'4", 235, and he's played some, but a lot on special teams, and he is taking advantage, again, of another year of eligibility. He's graduated from Vanderbilt, so he's got his wits about him. And he's transferring to Arizona. They got a new head coach out there, Jed Fish. He's looking for all new players. He's that guy. This is what I was talking about earlier. That there's going to be a coach who's going to say, I'm kind of close. We're coming off a 8-4 season. I'm going to have like six of these guys and real impact, et cetera. And so That's what it could be with Kenny Hebert. And again, you've got a new head coach out there going, I don't have ties to anybody on this roster. I am just trying to accumulate as much talent as possible. Headline, Pac-12 names MGM exec next commissioner. This would be George Kliavkov. I think I pronounced that right.
That's the way I heard it.
Kliavkov. Okay, I got it. Larry Scott, he's going to step down in about 6 weeks, into June. June 30th, he has said, I'm going to call it a career. It's been 12 years. Like everybody else, the Pac-12's made money. Everybody else in college football, Pac-12's made money over those 12 years and made the kind of money they should have, and they waste money. I'd never give Greg Sankey and credit and the SEC a lot of credit. They're still in downtown Birmingham. They could go, we have to be in Nashville or Atlanta, and even that's not expensive compared to San Francisco for the Pac-12 offices. I would have gone to Modesto. I would have gone to, Riverside or somewhere. Anywhere.
Scottsdale.
Bingo. We brought in Utah, heading for the Rockies. I bet you can, they could have purchased 100 acres in Utah and built a brand-new Pac-12 office for, 2 years' rent of what they're paying in San Francisco. And he's way overpaid, and their TV contract stinks. And so they hire a fella from MGM Resorts, president of entertainment and sports. He's got 20 years' experience working with the media, these types of rights deals, et cetera, big-time sporting events as well. And so this is clearly – this is a different sort of hire than most conferences make. It hasn't – relative to what the Big Ten is, which is as big a dog as there is when it comes to big dogs, they should have gotten their hire more right. And jury's out. Pac-12, same sort of thing, because the Big Ten, remember, they hired an executive from the Minnesota Vikings who had no experience, and it showed. This guy has no experience being a conference commissioner, but he knows media and rights, and the Pac-12's clear attitude is if we get an improved enough TV deal, everything else will take care of itself. Consider yourself up to date. All right, we're going to break, come back, continue next.
Hey, it's Finn, and if you've been listening to 680 for long, you know that I'm a big fan of Audi Atlanta. That's where I got my Audi Q8 e-tron, which I absolutely love. And it's the only dealership I would recommend to my friends and my family. And here's why. For one, Audi Atlanta has a great selection of luxury vehicles. They helped me find the exact SUV I was looking for, and the purchase was super easy. A fully transparent experience catered to me. The same experience they provide all their customers. And here's one more reason that makes Audi Atlanta so special. During the month of April, Audi Atlanta will make a donation to Enduring Hearts for every vehicle sold. Thanks to the efforts of Enduring Hearts, children with heart transplants are living longer and healthier lives. Get the Audi you've always wanted while supporting a great cause. To learn more about Enduring Hearts and to view our current specials, visit AudiAtlanta.com to start or complete your entire purchase online. Or shop Audi Atlanta in person, like I did, on Peachtree Boulevard just inside the perimeter. Together, we have the power to make positive changes that could last a lifetime.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
King of college football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
Everything that man just said is true. It is the Chuck Oliver Show. We are talking college football. I will say that if in 2016, after my close personal friend, Justin Fuente, was hired as the head coach at Virginia Tech, if you told me After his fifth season there, the AD would hold a press conference. I would say, oh, I know what that's about. That's about the new contract and the 10-year contract or the coach for life. Or I say, give him 5 years out of play. He stepped into a pretty talented roster. There are some issues, but he stepped into a pretty good situation there talent-wise. After 5 years, the press conference was going to be to announce whatever huge deal forever. Tom Allen got like a 7-year contract at Indiana. That's what that press conference was going to be. At the conclusion of year five, the AD had to have a press conference to explain why he wasn't firing Justin Fuente. Find a feather, knock me over. I want to welcome on now, right now, a guy we always love catching up with, does a great job covering everything in Virginia college football, but certainly all of the ACC from the Richmond Times-Dispatch. It is Mike Barber. Mike, how are you today?
I'm excellent. Thanks for having me again.
Why hasn't it turned out the way that I thought with Justin Fuente? Because it really was supposed to work. And as I said, talent-wise, there were issues for other reasons. But talent-wise, just sheer volume of, like, ACC game records. I mean, that was a good roster he inherited. Why hasn't it gone the way that I and I think most people expected?
Yeah, it's surprising, especially because, as you kind of referenced there, it started off really well. It started off with 10 wins and a Coastal Division title and a pretty competitive ACC championship game against Clemson. And it's been going downhill since then. And, you know, a part of it has been this kind of carousel at the quarterback position. Some of it the coach's fault, some of it not. You look at Gerard Evans, who he brought in, Justin Fuente brought in as a junior college transfer that first year, really the missing piece and what made them a 10-win program. And just a great get by Justin Fuente and Brad Cornelson. And then Evans decides to leave after 1 year. Not a great decision for him. He goes undrafted. And that kind of kicked off this carousel at quarterback. And we've seen guys like Josh Jackson, who looked like they might be the answer, and then he transfers to Maryland, and Ryan Willis takes over, but they don't end up sticking with him. They go to Hendon Hooker, and now Hendon Hooker's transferred to Tennessee, and Braxton Burmeister comes in, looks like he could be a good guy. We'll see what he does, but the uncertainty and the in and out at the quarterback position, more than anything to me, has just made it hard for Justin to develop any continuity.
Yeah, you're exactly right, and that's the calling card for Justin Fuente because of the work he did with more than just Paxton Lynch, but the guys that he's done previously, Andy Dalton, a couple other guys at Memphis, but it just really has surprised me. Quincy Patterson as well transferring out. You mentioned Burmeister. At the very least, I can say that based on what I see on the depth chart, for the first time in, more than a couple of seasons, Virginia Tech does have a clear starter at quarterback. I mean, there's nobody else that realistically could get that job barring injury, I think.
That's correct, and unless they go find somebody here in the off season, which is, always possible. But, that's the plus and minus, okay? Now you've got a clear-cut starter. He's not going to look over his shoulder, all of that kind of stuff. That's great. You know who you're building an offense for. But this is college football, and if he gets injured, where do you go? And, as you mentioned in the opening, this is now a make-or-break year for Justin Fuente. And, I would have said if you told me they were having that press conference in year five, it was to announce that they were looking for a replacement because Justin had left for a bigger job.
And so,
it has gone sideways. And now it's the question of this is a make-or-break year for him. And I don't know that that's necessarily fair. I think, to me personally, you kind of throw out last year's results. It was such a crazy year. They've dealt with a lot of things. I know it's the coach's responsibility, but some of the things that have happened with injuries. But this is, any way you slice it, when your AD has to come out and announce that he's not firing you, and when part of your fan base is upset at that announcement, this is a make-or-break season for Justin Fuente.
Okay, I don't have it in front of me. I'm going to apologize, but I remember, when Virginia Tech was starting spring, I think the number was 8 scholarship running backs and, 3 or 4 more showing up this summer. What has been the shaking out of that so far? Because there ain't going to be 11 or 12 running backs on that roster come September.
Yeah, really, it's like any other year. There are a few guys. This does look like it's going to be running back by committee. A year ago, they had Khalil Herbert, who just really took off. and became the personality of that offense. Just a great player. I mean, he could do so many things. He ran back kicks also. Raheem Blackshear, the transfer from Rutgers, he was the guy they were mostly hyping going into last season. I think he has a chance to be a really good player this year. Jalen Holston, I think, has a chance. But I think they're going to be the names you expect. Those guys, Keyshawn King, and I think some of these younger guys are going to either have to wait their turn or they're going to move, play defensive back, play somewhere else. So I don't think you're going to get to opening day with 12 running backs or something sharing carries.
All right. There are things in college football that, I mean, you just know you're going to see when the season starts. And Virginia Tech, you know, playing shutdown defense, that's just kind of what – I don't know if they're going to win. I don't know how the offense was. But for about 2.5 decades, I was like, they're going to hit you in Blacksburg. What's that defense now?
You know, it's going to be different this year. I think, and again, you know, it's not to make excuses. Everybody dealt with COVID. Everybody dealt with the things that were going on in this country last season. But Virginia Tech was in a unique position defensively to be replacing a legend like Bud Foster mm-hmm. with a guy in Justin Hamilton who's a up-and-coming young coach but a first-time Division I coordinator. He comes in. He doesn't get spring ball to get his feet wet. He doesn't get a typical fall camp to install his vision and his scheme and the things he wants to do. And then he plays the first 3 or 4 weeks with a patchwork secondary, guys in and out, freshmen playing that weren't expected to play, a game where he had his linebacker essentially dropping into deep thirds to play free safety because guys were so in and out with COVID quarantine. So I think I would not judge Justin Hamilton or the Virginia Tech defense on last season. I know it sounds a little homerish to say we're giving them a pass because everything that was happening, but I'd give them a pass on that. And I think the evaluation of Justin Hamilton is this season. I think they've got good personnel on that side of the ball. I think they've got good players on the defensive line, good players at linebacker. I think they've got more experience now in the secondary because of guys having to play early. And I think Jordan Williams, the defensive tackle who transferred from Clemson, is going to be an impact player for them.
You know, the same thing. I mean, I'm not a Virginia Tech. I'm not on the payroll up there. I'm not a Virginia Tech grad. But I think that I'm trying to remember that there were a couple of Saturdays, like following a win, where Justin Fuente, the first thing out of his mouth was, we shouldn't have played today, but we did. And so there were more than just one or two Saturdays where Virginia Tech, they could. We were just talking before you came on. I mean, like, you know, Clemson, the Florida State thing, the last thing you want to do is like game day during pregame say, sorry, we got positives. But Virginia Tech, I'll give them credit, they answered the bell.
They did, and I think Justin's personality, I don't think he would ever address it after a loss, but I look at that North Carolina game, somebody should have stopped them. Somebody should have said, hey, you know, we appreciate your willingness to strap it up and go with what you have, but this isn't fair to you. It's not fair to your players. That was a game that they played shorthanded in spots. They played with, you know, Chuck, people get confused when they say, well, how many guys did they have? Well, it's not about who you have on Saturday. When did you get those guys back? And Justin Fuente and Justin Hamilton, they played that game with a bunch of guys who they had gotten back on Thursday. Those guys didn't practice. They weren't in conditioning. They weren't up on game plans. And they were throwing them out there and just saying, you know, give it your best. And you know, I give them a lot of credit. Said for answering the bell, but I thought an administrator or the ACC, somebody should have stepped in and said, we're going to reschedule this game. You guys have done yeoman's work for a couple weeks getting through, but this is ridiculous.
Yeah, I had multiple people telling me, like this week in practice, the coach was like, all right, who played running back in high school? That they're literally, has anybody played corner? So they just kind of, you know, week to week had to do stuff like that. Mike, I appreciate your time, man. I always appreciate the expertise. Good stuff. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
All right, Mike Barber again, Richmond Times-Dispatch. It was Kelly Quinlan last week was, and I knew this when it was going on. I watched the game. Georgia Tech had a game where they had a 215-pound defensive end. It's like, we ain't got anybody. And you're playing guys at tackle that weren't tackle. That was the big thing. And Mike made a really good point there that raw numbers is an indicator, and honestly, it's a threshold. And it was, you know, 56 or 53 or, well, we've got this number on the offensive line. And it was the positional sort of things. And if you didn't have enough receivers, I'm not kidding. I mean, we had, again, Ingram Smith talking Florida State before the, I think, the Duke game. He's like, yeah, we're going to have folks some positional ambiguity on Saturday. But you did the best you could. Linemen, that's where things got dangerous, especially offensive line. And Virginia Tech, like I said, there were two wins where the first thing he's like, we should not have probably played today, but the kids wanted to, and so we did, and they got the win. And there were certainly some of those losses as well. All right, we're going to take a break, come back, continue with the Chuck Oliver Show on a Friday.
Hey, it's Finn, and if you've been listening to 680 for long, you know that I'm a big fan of Audi Atlanta. That's where I got my Audi Q8 e-tron, which I absolutely love. And it's the only dealership I would recommend to my friends and my family. And here's why. For one, Audi Atlanta has a great selection of luxury vehicles. They helped me find the exact SUV I was looking for, and the purchase was super easy. A fully transparent experience catered to me. The same experience they provide all their customers. And here's one more reason that makes Audi Atlanta so special. During the month of April, Audi Atlanta will make a donation to Enduring Hearts for every vehicle sold. Thanks to the efforts of Enduring Hearts, children with heart transplants are living longer and healthier lives. Get the Audi you've always wanted while supporting a great cause. To learn more about Enduring Hearts and to view our current specials, visit AudiAtlanta.com to start or complete your entire purchase online. Or shop Audi Atlanta in person, like I did, on Peachtree Boulevard just inside the perimeter. Together, we have the power to make positive changes that could last a lifetime.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
I learned in fifth grade, you win today's game. Little League Baseball, and we're in the playoffs, and it's 2 out of 3 in the playoffs, and we had our stud pitcher, and I guess the standard in Little League, or it was, you could only, like, one kid could only pitch 7 innings in a week. So we're cruising in game one. Coach takes him out after 5 innings. You know what? We're going to save him. We're going to have 2 innings with Brent Jones. We're going to have 2 innings with Brent tomorrow's game if we need him. Well, team comes back, beats us. We only got 2 innings from the stud the next day. Lost that one too. Like as an 11-year-old, I'm like, all right, note to self. Win today's game. I got LSU fans asking me, hey, do you think, you know, since Mac Johnson, we know he's got eligibility in 2022. Do you think that'll factor in the decision of who the starting quarterback is? I was like, can you imagine a head coach in college football basing the starting quarterback in September of 21 on what he thinks could happen a season from now? Folks, you've got this thing is called the transfer portal, and this other thing called immediate eligibility now. Dude, you went today's game. Today's game. If Miles Brennan is the better quarterback, I don't care if he's got 1 week eligibility left. He's the quarterback at LSU, for gosh sakes. Best kid plays. Want to welcome on now. I told you about it. Locked On SEC podcast. And a guy that I have met, and we've talked college football, and he knows the stuff, that's for sure. It is Chris Gordy. Chris, how are you, brother?
Chuck, like Notre Dame says, play like a champion today. Not tomorrow, not next year, today.
Absolutely. And the thought that I was expressing there, you were on the line. Have you heard anything along that line of reasoning? And just give me your take on it.
No, I mean, it's silly. I think LSU baseball has actually run into that a couple times this year with their closer, Devin Fontenot. And it's been like, all right, well, if we use him today, he won't be available tomorrow. Or, you know, if we use him today and tomorrow, then we don't have him for Sunday. It's like, man, go win the game today. That's what matters most.
How do you think the quarterback, competition with Johnson and Miles Brennan, how do you think that plays out come August? Because I was surprised it looked to be genuinely neck and neck after spring. I expected Max Johnson to have a little bit of a lead, at least per Coach Ogeron.
That's what I thought too, Chuck. And I mean, I went into the spring games. I said, I'm going to remove all preconceived bias and everything. And I get it. It's just a spring game and we can't take a lot out of it. But I said, I just want to see how these quarterbacks look. Because obviously A&M, they've got a competition, LSU, a couple of the other schools, you know, Vandy. So I said, I want to take all bias out and just judge them on what they look like today. And then, I mean, Max Johnson made some throws that Miles Brennan couldn't make in that game. And so I came away very impressed with Max Johnson. And I thought it was a little silly when they were saying, all right, well, you know, he won the last two games last year, so they're going to carry that momentum into the spring. And, you know, he's going to take the starter reps, but it's nothing against Miles Brennan. I think it's a knock on Miles Brennan that he hasn't come out of the gate swinging, saying, man, I know I got hurt last year. I know I missed the rest of last season, but this is my job. I've been here 5 years. Like, this is my time to go. Let's go. And I think it's more a knock on him that he hasn't separated himself as the starter at this point. And I don't think it's as much as Max Johnson has wowed everybody and be like, oh, man, you got to start this guy. But the kid I'm disappointed that they're going to lose is T.J. Finley, because I saw this kid play in high school at Ponchatoula High, and I was like, man, he's a mini Jamarcus Russell, because, I mean, he could just fling the ball down the field. And you know, now we're hearing, you know, Auburn's interested in him and a few other schools, so we'll see where Finley ends up. But, yeah, I'm more shocked that Miles Brennan hasn't taken the reins of this job, because think about it. He was there behind Joe Burrow. He was there through the Joe Brady era. Like, you would think he'd have picked up enough skills through these last couple of years to say, man, this is my job and I'm not losing it. I think it says more about where he is right now, that Max Johnson is still kind of, you know, competing for that starting job. And it may be his right now if they had to start a game.
Yeah, you may be able to see a little more T.J. Finley. I mean, he said, what, Arkansas, UF, as you said, Auburn there. Continuing with Chris Gordy from Locked On SEC podcast. Max Johnson, I know all of the things he does, and it's the trust with the teammates and the moxie and the guts and the everything else, and there's also physical skills. Just leave out all the intangibles. Tell me physically what it is Max Johnson does best.
He delivers a really nice ball, and I don't know why. I've just always been biased against left-handed quarterbacks. I don't like them. I don't know why. I mean, Tua, I liked him a little bit.
It always strikes me as there's a little bit of a windup in there.
Yeah, there is. There is. And Max Johnson's got a little bit of that. But the big thing is the mobility factor. I mean, look, this day and age of college football, you don't have to have Johnny Manziel, you know, type speed and that sort of thing. But you've got to be able to move. You can't sit back there like a statue in the pocket these days. And so I think that's what the coaching staff likes a lot about Max Johnson, you know, with a lot of the RPOs and read option plays that they can keep in the playbook. So I think that's what they like a lot about him. But, man, that last game he played against Ole Miss, and granted it was Ole Miss, and Ole Miss might have had the worst defense in the history of the SEC last year. They were so bad. But, you know, throwing for over 400 yards, and obviously Kayshawn Boutte showing that he's a good, nice go-to weapon at the receiver spot. He's coming back. So I just think he progressed so much over those last two games, winning on the road in the Swamp against Florida, and then that game against Ole Miss. He just showed a lot in his mechanics and in his arsenal. But I think it's the feet and the mobility that Coach O and that staff really, really love.
Talk about Coach O and the hiring process, because, you know, I've always said every coach has that list and you keep it in the bottom drawer on the left and it's under a bunch of stuff. And when somebody gets fired or leaves or whatever, everybody's got a list. I was like, Nick Saban doesn't even keep a list. He just turns his cell phone on and it starts ringing when there's an opening. That's not how it turned out in Baton Rouge this offseason. Just kind of take us through there and give me some ideas why.
Yeah, was Durante Jones their number one pick for defensive coordinator? No. I mean, was Jake Peets like, oh, my God, we got to go get this guy to be our offensive coordinator? No. But all these guys came highly recommended from Coach O, former assistants who were very good. Joe Brady is a guy he really respects, and what he did, obviously, you know, taking Joe Burrow, winning the Heisman Trophy, setting the world on fire, one of the best offenses ever in the history of college football, and route to winning a national championship. So I've heard some people kind of berate and say, look, you're trying to create what happened a couple years ago. You can't replicate that. But I think Coach O trusts those guys. So, you know, when Joe Brady calls and says, look, Jake Peets, you know, he was with me there at LSU during that title run, meant a lot. You know, I trust DJ Mangus, another guy who's, you know, going to come in and be the passing game coordinator. Coach O trusts that. And then Durante Jones, Dave Aranda gives his blessing and says, yeah, I think he'd be really good. So Are those guys going to be successful? I don't know. I know this. I know that defense can't be as bad as it was last year at LSU. I think Durante Jones, even if he has them middle of the pack, that's a huge upgrade from what LSU's defense was last year. The offense, you know, look, it wasn't bad last year. I think, we get so up in arms over what the 5-5 record and the defense was terrible and all that, but the offense was actually pretty good with Steve Ensminger still running the show. So we'll see what Jake Peets and DJ Magus bring in. I think it's going to be a little bit more new age, and, you know, we'll see some fun creative things. But, man, it wasn't that long ago, a couple years ago, when Matt Canada came in and took over the LSU offense, and we were all going, wow, they ran an end around. Oh, my God, they had motion pre-snap. What is this trickery that, you know, this new age trickery? And it was like, oh, we just became so accustomed to the Les Miles dismal offenses of years past that we were like, anything fresh is good in our minds.
Last question for you. What do the numbers allow? Because LSU, I'm sure Coach O's like every other head coach in America, come June 1, it seems, before that summer session really gets going, wants to work the transfer portal a little bit more. Do they have numbers? Do they have availability there?
Yeah, there's a couple spots. I need to see exactly what they have left, but it's not much. The one guy that has not gotten a lot of attention that nobody's really talked about is Mike Jones, the linebacker coming over from Clemson.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to be an instant impact starter for them. And, look, they brought in Jabril Cox last year from North Dakota State. He had some moments, but he wasn't what everybody was hoping he was going to be. I mean, they were literally saying this guy's going to be a first-round pick. And he came in, he was fine. He was more a drop-in coverage, cover-type linebacker, wasn't that great coming up, stopping the run, or getting after the quarterback. So I think Mike Jones is going to be that more complete linebacker. And that's a guy that, again, like when I was looking, there was a list that came out last week. It was like the top 10 transfers to come into the SEC this year. Mike Jones wasn't on the list. I was like, man, you might want to rethink your list, because I think this guy's going to be a big part of what the LSU does defensively this year.
Chris, I appreciate it, man. It's good stuff. Thank you for coming on.
Absolutely, Chuck.
All right. Chris Gordy from Locked On SEC podcast. And I mean, he's right. That's what kind of gets lost in the fact that the season wasn't 2019. The season was 5-5, and you had to rally, and you had to have a kid throw a shoe. And it's like you had to come back to be 5-5. It wasn't because of the offense. And that got way, 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 way more attention as far as the coaching hires in the offseason. Defensive coordinators, you're like, it's not going to be Bo Pelini no matter who they hire, so it'll be better. It'll be better. Offensively, who are they going to hire? They didn't win a national championship. No, they didn't, but the offense was still pretty good. In fact, I think they're sometimes is really good, just hummed. And, you know, it was every Saturday when LSU was having a tough go of it, here is the very boiled down, shortened version of what I saw. I saw a bunch of really talented football players way out of position. That's kind of what I saw. I saw some really talented defensive players going, wait a minute, didn't you have, deep third. I thought it was halves. Now, that's what I saw. So it wasn't talent. And again, I talked at the beginning of the show. It is rare that you actually say that coaches make it harder for you to win, because I can, you know, I can coach for the tie, and I'm talking just like makeup of the staff. I can have somebody who's a great recruiter. Look, just coach the basics. You make him the receiver coach in a run-based offense. I mean, there are ways to do that. And so I at least want the tie with any guy I add to the staff. You didn't have that last year, and that was with a really accomplished guy in Bo Pelini. All right, we're going to break, wrap up for the day, wrap up for the week, next on the Chuck Oliver Show.
Hey, it's Finn, and if you've been listening to 680 for long, you know that I'm a big fan of Audi Atlanta. That's where I got my Audi Q8 e-tron, which I absolutely love. And it's the only dealership I would recommend to my friends and my family. And here's why. For one, Audi Atlanta has a great selection of luxury vehicles. They helped me find the exact SUV I was looking for, and the purchase was super easy. A fully transparent experience catered to me. The same experience they provide all their customers, And here's one more reason that makes Audi Atlanta so special. During the month of April, Audi Atlanta will make a donation to Enduring Hearts for every vehicle sold. Thanks to the efforts of Enduring Hearts, children with heart transplants are living longer and healthier lives. Get the Audi you've always wanted while supporting a great cause. To learn more about Enduring Hearts and to view our current specials, visit AudiAtlanta.com to start or complete your entire purchase online. Or shop Audi Atlanta in person, like I did, on Peachtree Boulevard just inside the perimeter. Together, we have the power to make positive changes that could last a lifetime.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
Dick Vermeil threw 30 times when they were losing. And he lost all six times that he threw 30-plus times. And Daniels was just out there doing it anyway. I think that the hire of Monken was an acknowledgement of this, of the shift that the Georgia offense needed to take. It's just when the quarterback issues popped up the way they did last fall, we just didn't get to see much of what Monken had in mind. Now we will.
Bill Connelly. Very smart man, ESPN.com. He was on this here show yesterday, and we were talking about the changing roles of starting quarterbacks on championship teams in college football. If you're not winning titles, then you're not a blueprint for anything. If you're not winning championships, if you're not winning, maybe at whatever the realistic level that a program is going to consistently win at, it's different in some places. David Cutcliffe may have achieved that at his current stop. He may have achieved it as a previous stop, but Ole Miss didn't agree with him. So we were talking about that, and specifically the changing roles of quarterbacks in Athens and what it could be this year, that the only time Kirby would allow Jake Fromm to let it fly was when they were down and losing, which means you're already coming back from a deficit on the scoreboard. So you're going upstream with, you know, if it's tied with 60 minutes to go, or you're down 11 with 4 minutes to go. See, that second one, that's harder. And so that's how you wind up. If the only situation where you're letting your quarterback air it out is when you're losing in the fourth quarter anyway, well, there's a chance you could wind up. Now, that's extreme, but there's a chance you could wind up 0-6, which is what Jake Fromm and Georgia were when he threw the ball 30 or more times, says that it was just a matter of course. It was just what they were doing with JT Daniels last year and the final 4 weeks of the season. So, again, appreciate him coming on. If you didn't hear that interview, it was yesterday on the program. It's bottom of hour one. I'll tell you that if you get the podcast delivered to you, go to thepodcastpark.com. You go anywhere you want to get podcasts, but go to thepodcastpark.com or wherever. Click subscribe. It shows up automatically. It's free, 100% off. Best I can do. So get that every single day. So, again, thank you to Bill Connelly coming on. Dan Matthews will pop in here in a minute or two, but right now I'm going to talk.
The King's Closing Arguments, presented by the best closing attorneys in the business, Alexander Shannara and Associates.
Winning the SEC championship, that is not where you look for long shot odds at the betting window. If you walk up like on a daily Major League Baseball slate of games, you may see, Arizona's not very good, but they're at home. It's the Dodgers, and they're plus 180. All right, I'll go long shot. Why? Because there's 162 baseball games, and maybe you hit that one. Even the worst team's going to win 60 games. And they're at home? Yeah, give me the Diamondbacks. Winning the SEC championship in football, that's not where you look for long shot odds. And I have one for you. Kentucky is at 50-1 to win the conference. Now, let me say, I don't think Kentucky's going to win the conference. But if you're going to make a wager, not so bad to find what is possible with longer odds. It has to be possible. And with Kentucky, it is. Before the 2020 COVID season, here is where Mark Stoops has the program. Four straight seven-win seasons. Nick Saban's like, seven-win seasons? We usually get that by week seven. I understand. That's why it's 50-1 and not 4-5. I mean, imagine that. What Vegas is saying, it is another, 60? Bama is 62 times more likely to win the SEC than Kentucky. So that's why the numbers are different. But it's possible with a long number. Four straight seven-win seasons. Here's something for you to chew on. Three straight seasons in the top five SEC defenses. New offense could equal better offense. I think it has to equal better offense. And even the component that will be the carryover, the running game and the offensive line, stellar. I don't think that the defensive talent lost to the NFL is that much of an issue due to recruiting. And the fact that I said defensive talent lost to the NFL, I didn't say just defensive talent lost to loss of eligibility. That's where Mark Stoops has the program. And here's the weird thing. I'm going to tell you how favorable the Kentucky schedule is, where I think the Wildcats may actually have as tough a three-game stretch as anyone in the SEC. But I still look at them and go, hey, the schedule could help them. Start with Louisiana, Monroe, Missouri, Chattanooga, South Carolina. Then comes a three-game stretch, Florida, LSU, Georgia. Chuck, how can you say that's favorable? The first two are in Lexington. We're not beating Georgia anyway. So if you're going to have a road game in the SEC, don't have it one you could actually win. Concede the thing. If you're not going to beat Georgia, play them in Athens. Have it count as one of your road games. You got Florida and LSU both at home. Bye week, Mississippi State, Tennessee, Vandy, New Mexico State, Louisville. Folks, where are the landmines? You got a tough three-game stretch in the middle of the season. First two at home, and the game you're not going to win anyway is on the road, and then a bye week. I said you want to marry possible with a good number. You got both of those in Kentucky, and I told you, they're not going to win, but it's possible. 50-1? I don't know. Throw a Franklin on there. See what happens. That is my closing argument, brought to you by the law offices of Alexander, Shinar, and Associates. When you need legal expertise, you need Alexander, Shinar, and Associates, Alabama, Georgia, Florida, Tennessee, wherever. What up, Dan?
Oh, not much. And, you know, you mentioned George Kliavkov, as now we know. It's a three-syllable name, so that's how I'll always remember it.
Did I get that right?
You did. Okay. You did. At least the University of Oregon president, who I guess was part of the president's council that hired him when he announced him yesterday, 5 minutes later, he finally said what his name was. But then that's how we figured out that his name is George Kliavkov. And I look at introductory press conferences, Chuck, as a thing that we have diagnosed and dissected over the years of the old term, you win the press conference. Well, no press conference, one, has ever necessarily translated to winning a game. And it wasn't a press conference, but years ago, remember, we've got two examples of one, what to do and what not to do. Of one, it was not a press conference, but it was halftime of the Ohio State basketball game when Jim Tressel went out there and said, and in 300 and so many days when we play that school up north, we're going to make you proud then. And of course, the crowd went nuts. They went on to beat Michigan. They go on to win a national title, and Jim Tressel is a legend until, of course, he wasn't. The other one was Brady Hoke, remember, where he tried to go that route at Michigan, and he did everything short of saying, my name is Matt Foley, and I live in a van down by the river, because those were the vibes that he had. Here's what I look at with an introductory press conference. I look at it almost like you're a server to us at a restaurant. You're telling us the specials. You're giving us everything that we can look forward to that night. Then I get to order, and I get to enjoy the experience and figure out how it's going to be from there on out. I will say this with Kliavkov with the Pac-12, because some people could say, Dan, we're an SEC-ACC country. What do I give a darn about what happens in the Pac-12? I care because some heritage programs are in that conference, and I want to see the USC's playing for a chance to play in the college football playoff. I want to see Oregon getting an opportunity, UCLA, Arizona, whoever else out there, because it's good for the sport when those teams are good. The fact that they missed so badly with Larry Scott and brought in a guy who knew nothing about what it takes to run a major conference, and not only to run a major conference, but to make said conference profitable and competitive in said sports. Chuck, the Pac-12 is competitive in nothing right now. And that is at the foot of him. And that is why George Kliavkov is here now, because not only is he there to make them competitive on the field, he's there to make them competitive in the TV market. And with his work at Hulu, I think he's got a good shot at doing that. And he said some things yesterday that at least make me believe, hey, this restaurant might be good.
If you're a Clemson fan or a Georgia fan or Bama, there are a few others. I guess Brian Harsin said he would like Auburn to do this. You care because of the stream. Ohio State fan, heck yeah, you care. The stream of all the studs coming from the West Coast, East, in recruiting. Wait, they have competent leadership out there now? Maybe they're recruiting. I'm telling you. So absolutely, Dan's right. You care about this for a lot of different reasons. All right, wraps it up. For the day, for the week, I appreciate everybody coming here for 2 hours today to get your college football conversation. We'll have a couple days off, recharge those batteries. I will be back at your local time on Monday with 2 hours of college football conversation on the Chuck Oliver Show.
Hey, it's Finn, and if you've been listening to 680 for long, you know that I'm a big fan of Audi Atlanta. That's where I got my Audi Q8 e-tron, which I absolutely love. And it's the only dealership I would recommend to my friends and my family. And here's why. For one, Audi Atlanta has a great selection of luxury vehicles. They helped me find the exact SUV I was looking for, and the purchase was super easy. A fully transparent experience catered to me. The same experience they provide all their customers. And here's one more reason that makes Audi Atlanta so special. During the month of April, Audi Atlanta will make a donation to Enduring Hearts for every vehicle sold. Thanks to the efforts of Enduring Hearts, children with heart transplants are living longer and healthier lives. Get the Audi you've always wanted while supporting a great cause. To learn more about Enduring Hearts and to view our current specials, visit AudiAtlanta.com to start or complete your entire purchase online. Or shop Audi Atlanta in person, like I did, on Peachtree Boulevard just inside the perimeter. Together, we have the power to make positive changes that could last a lifetime.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.